You know, I thought this was going to be a light show before the draft, you know, that everything was going to be quiet and easy. Well, wrong.
With all the shenanigans around, with even more shenanigans around free agency and people suing to get out of conferences. And then Travis Kelce has to make the news somehow, too. How is
twice.
That happening?
Twice.
Plus, you would think that people, these are million-dollar organizations. You would think that they'd have a better grasp on how to secure their bag. You would think this. But no, we'll explain all of those as we get into the 480th edition of the BS Big Show here on 5-1 Studios. That's my brother from another mother, Jason Block.
Yes, sir. And, of course, our sound guy from New Jersey. Oh, what?
He's mad!
No, I tell you. March Madness, yes.
By the way, as we record this, we have one team already eliminated. Sorry, Howard.
Okay. So who do you got to win it all, VRM?
Let me just check CBS Sports and figure out where I actually left it at, because I forget.
I know who Carl has to win it all.
I have an ACC, all ACC final.
Wow.
I have the match that we should have had in, or actually, no, Iowa State's Big 12. I would have to say the match we should have had in the Big 10 championship game. Iowa State's Big 12. Never mind. I was about to say,
he's confused.
I have an upset special in my final. Not quite an upset, but considering where they're starting, Iowa State, because I like memes.
Okay.
But Caitlin Clark plays for Iowa. No.
No, that's the women. But anyway, but again, VRM, but before we even start, we actually have to wish a very happy birthday to the lady who is the head of the NAWC, Ms. Nikki Haman, who under penalty of death said if I mentioned her age, she'd kill me. So,
I can say this is your birthday song. It isn't very long.
Yeah, there we go. So let's start. Hey, so VRM, I don't know if we've gotten the taste of the trade of Barkley to the Eagles, but there's a little wicked of stickiness, isn't there?
We touched on this last week, how there was the rumblings last week that there might be some tampering that wasn't legal.
Mm-hmm. Outside of the legal tampering that happened.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
And the NFL is on the case.
Yeah. So last week when we reported on this, it hadn't really moved very far. It was just recently announced. Now we can say the NFL is investigating the Philadelphia Eagles for violating the tampering rules in regards to Saquon. System,
the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups, the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
In regards to Saquon.
Well, they're also investigating. You like that? Kirk Cousins and the Falcons too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, the reason why is that on last Monday, we heard about the 3-year, $37 million deal in the legal tampering period, which the Eagles announced on Wednesday. However, but Penn State University head football coach James Franklin suggested that. I'm just trying to see who is this guy, Roseman.
Roseman would be
Howie Roseman.
Howie Roseman, yeah.
Okay, okay. And Barclay talked before the NFL free agency officially started, which would not be allowed. Okay. Franklin said at a press conference on Tuesday that obviously, being a Pennsylvania kid who chose to stay home and come to Penn State, our hit rate with players that have been stay home from the state of Pennsylvania has been really good at the spring press conference. I'm talking about the top players in the state that have chose to stay here. We can go on and on and on, whether it's Micah Parsons, whether Saquon Barkley, and some of the guys that are we able to get back on the rebound is also going to be interesting for us moving forward. But for him now to come back and to be able to play within the state of Philadelphia, he said that what was one of the first things that Howie Roseman said to him on the phone as part of his spell picture was not only the Philadelphia Eagles, but obviously the connection with Penn State and the fan bases as well.
Mm. Okay. So here's how this breaks the rules. During the legal tampering period, teams can negotiate with the agents.
But not the players.
Not with the players, unless the player is representing themselves. Saquon is represented by Ed Berry of the CAA.
Mm-hmm.
So he has an agent.
Right.
And if Saquon was talking directly with Howie Roseman, who is the GM for the Philadelphia Eagles,
there could be some compensation to the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
To the Giants, maybe?
Maybe.
Well, or would the Eagles lose stuff?
This would be a case of losing draft picks and possible fines as well.
Yeah, but they still don't get the
Remember what happened to Miami.
Lots of other people too. But you know what I would love to see? Of course they'll never do it. Okay. Not just because of this, but because of other reasons. I would like to see the deal invalidated. You think Goodell would have the cojones to do that? No.
No.
But like, wouldn't it be great?
There's got to be some sort of punishment that goes along with this. Otherwise, it's like Roger Goodell would be all blah, blah, blah. Words, words, words. Just spitting out whatever sticks and hoping
integrity
the public
of
will
the
accept.
Shield.
Yeah, exactly.
Integrity of the shield and yada, yada. And then this next case would mean absolutely.
Nothing. I mean, Lily? They could say oops. Yeah, they'd say oops. We tampered. I'm sorry. By the way,
Bruce Rivers on YouTube has a saying: "Stop self snitching."
Right.
Just right. Like Kirk Cousins did.
Right. Oh, and by the way, San Francisco lost a draft pick because they fucked up in the accounting department. Okay.
This is why you gotta watch your money.
Okay.
I got the thing here from SI, by the way, under new management.
Yes.
The 49ers,
what, Rosie the robot, baby?
The robot, yeah. Per Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, the 49ers will lose their fifth-round pick in the 2025 draft, while their fourth-round pick in the 2024 draft will now move to the end of the round behind all of the compensatory selections. They will also... Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I'm just trying to think. It's a salary cap error.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in other words, misrepresented their player compensation in 2022. Okay. And this year's fourth round selection will be moved to the end of the round. Okay. Oh, you mean they didn't carry the zero part of the three?
They may have fudged a number or two here and there. Who knows? Okay. The action resulted, again from Tom Pelissero, from a league review that found administrative payroll accounting errors at the close of the 2022 league year, that is this time 1 year ago, that resulted in a reporting of the club's cumulative player compensation. The NFL determined that the club would have remained under the salary cap at all times, regardless of the error, and there was no intent to circumvent the cap. This is where the narrator goes.
They tried to circumvent the cap. That's what they did.
Ooh.
What?
I'm just digging more into the Cousins investigation.
Go for it.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, Cousins might be a little more involved than just his snitching. Because apparently, Cousins offered to call Moody and make the pitch for the Falcons.
The owner?
No, Darnell Mooney.
The coach?
No, the receiver.
Oh, okay.
So the Falcons not only had Cousins, but they had Cousins operating as a recruiter, essentially. Falcons are about to lose a first round pick.
Could be, but yeah. they could got Cousins. But VRM, you have who's going where right now? Because you have the names, you have the numbers.
I haven't gotten the latest ones, but we do have some of the more recent ones. Williams.
Nothing as huge. Well, there's a couple. Chase Young to New Orleans. That's
Chase
interesting.
Young to New Orleans, but he's going to miss some time.
Because
I think he's got. I saw this briefly. I didn't actually read what the injury was. I think he's got some. I think he said he had some neck issues. I got to double check that.
I'm looking it right now.
But we've got.
Undergoing neck surgery. You're correct.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going on to miss part of camp. So if he does it now, he'll be okay. Hopefully. He's only 24.
Do the Browns need another quarterback?
Who'd they get?
Huntley.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Because
they have
Deshaun,
four.
Okay. Who they got? Deshaun Watson,
Jameis Winston,
right?
DTR and Huntley.
At this point, they're basically in a race with the Steelers to see who can acquire the most quarterbacks before training camp.
No. You know what? I like the Steelers' moves. I really do.
I didn't say they were bad moves. I just said they're acquiring a lot of quarterbacks.
Because the Steelers finally took the baggage away, or shall we say, cleared the way for Caleb Williams, right?
Yeah, there was apparently a big civil war in the fan base over Justin Fields and Caleb Williams, and Justin Fields gets traded to the Steelers for a sixth that is potentially a fourth, depending on playing time.
Yep.
But you know what? I actually like this deal. I'll tell you why. Okay. For all of Russell Wilson's foibles, Justin Fields could learn a lot from him. Okay. And because Russ ain't cooking, Justin will. And we'll see, let's see what Justin Fields could do under a real coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? Worst case scenario, and I've seen this happen, and so if this happens, it's not going to be absolutely terrible, but worst case scenario is quarterback by committee. That's the worst case scenario.
Right. But, and what else you got at VRM?
We've got Keenan Allen getting traded to the Bears. Right. And all in, comma, my ass.
Uh-huh.
Tyron Smith to the Jets.
Oh, yeah. He's not the only one.
Just letting him go.
Yeah.
But the Jets late this evening, and we're going to do this one, actually gave someone that Rodgers to throw to, and that's a pretty good one, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mike Williams.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually, I think, the best receiver, or was the best receiver on the Chargers. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And they're going to pay him as such too, so.
But again, well, and again, Aaron Rodgers can now actually concentrate on football again, now that he's not going to be the vice presidential candidate of RFK Jr.
Okay, so we got Brett Rippon into Chicago. Jimmy G was cut by the Raiders.
I'm shocked at that, actually.
So am I. I mean, I thought, you know,
remember when
the Raiders picked up Jimmy G and Jimmy G was destined to go places, but they didn't let him go places.
Mm-hmm. Calvin Ridley getting overpaid.
How much?
4 years, 92.
Oh, good grief. Well, I'm guessing betting on him, aren't they? Anyway.
by the Titans. Bobby Wagner going to Washington. Mm-hmm. Speaking of getting paid.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Amazing what almost getting there can get you.
Okay.
Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes getting paid. In Detroit.
Oh, well, you know what? Dan Campbell deserved it. Okay.
Yep. He said he was going to promise you kneecaps. He wasn't lying. He had more than his fill of kneecaps this season. And now he's getting paid for that. What is he getting paid?
I don't have the numbers in front of me.
All I know is ESPN says Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes extended. Doesn't say how much, but you know, most deserved.
Okay, Jimmy G ended up going to Los Angeles, the Rams. Can he pick
Jimmy G is backing up Stafford?
Yes.
You know what? That's not bad. That's really not bad.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. And then the Chiefs actually got a wide receiver. Hollywood Brown.
Okay. You know what that is? That's the newest version of Marquez MVS.
Marquez Valdez Scantling.
Okay. But here is the thing with the Chiefs, okay? The Chiefs got bigger issues to fry. Okay, and do you have more or
there is one more, but it is not a signing, but someone hanging it up.
I believe. Do we have that?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Okay.
That would be Leighton Vander Esch retiring.
He's got neck issues.
That's not who I was going to.
Oh,
I was going to the other person who is hanging it up. Aaron Donald.
Oh, that's right. He's hanging it up, too, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to have to look up his stats real quick to see, because he is one of two notable retirees this week. And Aaron Donald told Sean McVay after the playoff loss, "I'm full." And let me just take a look here at ESPN, who says he is tied for the most wins for Defensive Player of the Year with, I believe it's three. Yeah, it's three.
Aaron, that's a huge loss for the Rams. Aaron Donald was one of the baddest people in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Let's take a look at some of his honors. Obviously, Super Bowl champion in Super Bowl 56 with the Rams. Three-time Defensive Player of the Year. 2014 Defensive Rookie of the Year. An 8-time first-team All-Pro. 10-time Pro Bowler. He made it Pro Bowl all 10 seasons he played.
First, okay. He's another first ballot Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the same class with Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jason.
He's 154 career games played, 150 starts, combined 543 tackles, 111 sacks, 21 passes defended, 24 forced fumbles, seven recoveries. And then he's played 11 games in the postseason, 34 combined tackles, six sacks, one pass defended.
Yeah, you can tell from his play on the field to his actions off the field, you can tell he's accomplished everything an NFL player.
He's got a ring.
He's got multiple awards. You can tell he's gone as far as his career.
And how old is he?
32.
Okay. That's around. See, the thing is that I get that now. Remember, the life of an NFL player is less and less and less and less and less. What's the average now? 4 years? 5 years? Hold on. Average life of an NFL player. Okay. No. Not the average life. Oh, wow. According to Statista, the average playing career length in the NFL is 3 years. That's crazy. Wow. You know?
I did not know that. Today I learned.
Right.
So I have Aaron Donald's statement here. Throughout my career, I've given my everything to football, both mentally and physically. 365 days a year was dedicated to becoming the best possible player I could be. As I turn my focus to a new chapter, I don't know what the future holds, but I am excited about the off-the-field possibilities. As well you should be, sir.
Right. So, speaking of the you know what? Hold on. VRM, I need some college music, please. And
here comes the money.
There we go. You read my mind, baby.
Here comes the money.
Oh, yes. Okay. In a deal that absolutely shocked absolutely no one, ABC and ESPN are combining to stay the home of the college football playoff, which is now 12, which will be, by the time the deal ends, what, 55, 60? I don't know. Okay, for $7.8 billion. Hit it again. Wow.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Here's the thing. So the network ESPN gets the exclusive rights for the postseason until 7 years from now. Okay. But the national championship game is going to move to ABC starting in 2026. Smart move, by the way, because right around that time, Chico, we're in between what? Some Bachelor or something like that around that time?
In between that time, we are in between seasons of Dancing with the Stars and The Bachelor, provided ABC keeps them around that long.
Yes, according to ABC News, terms were not announced, but as previously reported, the six-year agreement will pay the college football playoff and participating conferences $1.3 billion annually. Woof.
Boy.
According to CFP, College Football Playoffs, Executive Director Bill Hancock, it's a significant day for the CFP and for the future of college football. The depth of coverage that ESPN gives the sport throughout the season is second to none. Yeah, I guess we get to see Pat McAfee on ABC, you know?
Don't threaten me with a bad time, Jason Block.
No, I'm not. Okay, and ESPN is also paying, the NCAA is paying ESPN $920 million over 8 years for the Women's Division I basketball tournament and 39 other championship events, okay?
Yep, well,
and by the way,
the ACC, the SEC, ESPNU, they have to fill the schedule with something.
And what happened was is that the CFP contract had $470 million annually. Good. So they tripled their revenue. The CFP tripled their revenue. Good job, man. Wow.
Indeed.
That is a smart move. And a la the WLTI, we have this smart move. Now, why are we playing a game show theme, Chico?
Because we're fanboys. No, actually, it's very simple. Travis Kelce, aside from being a talented singer, a talented comedian, a talented tight end, and Mr. Taylor Swift, of course, he is reportedly in talks to host a reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? For Amazon Prime Video, and this, now quoting from Variety, is according to two people familiar with the matter. If signed, would represent the football great's latest move toward general entertainment after appearances on Saturday Night Live, Catching Kelce, of which we did a minisode on It Was a Thing on TV, and the podcast he hosts with his brother Jason.
What is that? New Horizons, I think it's called.
I think so.
Or New Beginning. Hold on. Okay, Jason Kelce podcast.
New Heights with
Jason. New Heights. New Heights. Yeah, that just wanted to work. But okay. Now repeat that line about having two people close to the matter, right?
Two people familiar with the matter says that he is in discussions to host, and this is what weirds me out, a celebrity-focused reboot of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? Prime Video declined to comment. CAA declined to comment. And, yeah.
Well, okay, you know what this is? Okay, can I put the Gordon Pepper TM cynical bastard hat on?
Ooh, yes. Are you going to tell me what you're thinking? And I am going to agree with you because I am thinking the exact same thing.
That this was a planned leak?
You are correct, sir.
Bingo! Right. This is what we... Now, VRM, this is what we call a trial balloon, okay? We've seen it in a couple of wrestling lawsuits and all this stuff, right? So everyone's going to say, okay, all right, look, let's see if the people like it. You know, leak it to, this reporter at Variety. They'll print it for us. And this is what we're. This is how we can get this. Now, VRM, I'm going to need a cue for you. You'll understand what this is in a second, because this would be the third revival. The first was hosted by Jeff Foxworthy.
Yep, for three or four seasons in both Fox and syndication.
Right, but then it went to Nickelodeon, and it was hosted by John Cena. John Cena. Right on. Thank you.
Which was really awkward because here you have this really good game show on Nickelodeon, but nobody's hosting it.
No. He was actually very good. He was actually very good. Okay. I like Travis Kelce if it's celebrity focused, which I hope it's not.
If celebrities could play game shows. I'd like to see regular people now, please, and thank you.
Regular people shows. Now, moving on to story two on the Travis Kelce bit. So we all love a good steakhouse, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well,
little steakhouse with potatoes, little surf and turf action. Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So according to TMZ, Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, and Noble 33 are opening a high-end steakhouse in Kansas City called 1587 Prime. 1587 are the two numbers, of course. And it's going to be a two-story, 10,000-square-foot eatery which is open in early 2025 with a meat display as a focal point as hypersubtle nods to Super Bowl champions, etc., etc., etc. So, yeah, this will be good for a hot second, you know? I mean, look. Now, VRM, you remember Ditka's in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Don Shula's Steakhouse, the chain is still around, I think. Let me look.
I've been to the Harry Carey Cafe in Chicago 4 years ago when I was in Chicago for Geek Bowl.
You know, Michael Jordan has a steakhouse. I mean, I'm just...
He used to have an eatery in Chapel Hill before they closed it. Not important okay. how, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know what? Not outside the realm of possibility for this to succeed. They just need the right people in the right places. Already they have, you know, they have the backing of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and I've seen pictures of the mock-up. My God, it looks beautiful.
And by the way, there's only 6 Shula's Steakhouse left. Okay.
I mean, as they said, it sounds fancy, and I'm looking at it. It looks fancy. So, that is something to look forward to if you happen to be in Kansas City in 2025, and you can swing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, high end.
Something might not be in Kansas City much longer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe this one.
An owner of a pro sports franchise is threatening to leave the city if the upcoming sales tax vote does not go their way.
Oh, boy.
Here is bullshit.
Thank you. I was waiting for somebody to stop me. Okay. Yeah, according to CBS Sports, the Chiefs have been playing in Kansas City since 1963, but during a recent interview with the NBC affiliate KSHB 41, Chiefs president Mark Donovan, he was asked what the team's plan might be going forward if the sales tax fails, and again, this is an upcoming sales tax vote in Kansas City or Missouri. Or both. And he said a relocation would certainly be on the table. This is Mike Donovan. This is Mark Donovan.
No. This is, okay, play Cody Rhodes again, because this is
bullshit.
Okay, I'll explain. Okay, yeah. So read what Donovan says, and I'm going to tell you
All right, okay. All right. There are two parts. I'm going to read the first part. You're going to tell me what that says. Then I'm going to read the second part, and you're going to tell me what that says, all right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay, the first part. I think they would have to include leaving Kansas City if the vote fails.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we need to clarify what this vote is.
Yes, so tell us what the vote is.
So, all right, so the Chiefs just recently unveiled plans that they're going to make an $800 million renovation at Arrowhead.
Because it's one of the oldest NFL stadiums, mm-hmm. if not the yeah. oldest, right?
Yeah.
Look at NFL stadiums by age. Hold on. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Oldest to newest. Okay.
You think Soldier Field is the oldest, but it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is. Sorry.
1924. Okay. And they're doing a bit. Chicago wants to put a dome in Chicago. What? Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, that ain't working.
No. Okay. Number 2 is Lambeau. Okay.
Of course it is.
And number 3 is Arrowhead, 72.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. So move on.
So the Chiefs are planning to put $300 million of that bill, but the rest would come from an extension of a 3/8 cent sales tax that is going to be voted on in Jackson County coming up in April. It is currently in place until 2031. This extension would increase that to 2064.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets approved, then the Chiefs have said that they'll sign a 25-year extension on their lease, which has a team option for 3 more 5-year extensions. Their lease expires in 2031. So even if this vote does fail, they're still locked in until 2031.
Right, but okay, but here's the deal, right? The Chiefs are going to plan to foot $300 million. I know I'm talking telephone numbers, as my dad would say. $300 million,
that's walking around, Maeda Mark Donovan.
Right, exactly. Why not foot the whole fucking bill yourself and give people, you know, a little money back in your pocket?
Because cheap owners want the government to pay for everything.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, like I said, stop me if you've heard this one.
Yeah, but
San Diego.
Yeah, San Diego.
Miami.
Yeah, right. Well, San Diego left. They're in L.A. Okay. And first of all, the Chiefs ain't going freaking anywhere. It's a load of crap. Anyway, it's just bullshit.
Yeah. And by the way, here's Donovan again. Our goal here is we want to stay here, and we're willing to accept a deal for the county to actually stay here. So really, Mark Donovan talking out both sides of his ass on this one.
Mm-hmm. Just horrible. Just
please, Mark Donovan, please shut up.
Yeah, well, you're ready for some more bullshit. Some politicians, the active legislators, are afraid that if this sales tax vote fails, then they couldn't just be in danger of losing the Chiefs.
The Royals, too?
They could potentially lose the Royals, too.
Oh, okay. First of all, number one.
Because their lease runs to 2030. Mm-hmm. And they also would use the extension to help pay for a new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because legislators are in the business of bullshitting. Yeah, I said it. One said, I think we're in grave danger of losing one or both teams.
Well, first of all, okay, Kauffman Stadium, I believe, is also.
Kauffman Stadium, correct.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm just saying, let's see. MLB stadiums by age. I know.
I think they. I think within the last 10 years they added something to
Fenway, right, but I'm Wrigley, Dodger, Angel, the garbage dump, and Kauffman. Yeah. So 1973.
Sixth. What is it? Fenway, Wrigley, Dodger Stadium. That's three. Angel Stadium, four.
The dump
is from the dump, and then six. Okay. Sixth. Oh, wow. And then we get to the 80s where the Rogers Center is. Wow. So there were no real – that's because all the other stadiums like Riverfront and Three Rivers and all those.
Camden.
Yeah. No, Camden's around.
Yeah, Camden's the 90s.
Yep.
But, yeah, a bunch of the stadiums are 2000s and –
yeah, with a combination of new stadiums imploding old stadiums and new franchises, which popped up in the 90s and 2000s. Yeah.
Yep. So,
the newest stadium going to be opening soon in Las Vegas, right where the Trop used to be.
Moment of silence. Moment gone. Next.
Yeah, if that happens.
If. They haven't given an indication that it is not going to happen, but if it...
But all those stadium renderings are just weird, man. Just like an AI...
They're renderings. They're supposed to be weird.
Well, finally, we need to get a little...
Well, I'm just glad that everybody said when I said the dump, they knew what I was talking about.
Of course exactly we did, because there's only one... Okay, because there's only one dump left in the MLB, and that's Oakland. Because I remember actually going to a dump, and that's Shea Stadium. That was an awful piece of shit place to play. Okay, great ballpark, but a dump. Okay.
Yeah. And
City Field, not so much. Okay.
Yeah. Now, we go into our final story, we actually have something that our Chief High Muckety Muck Carl passed along, and that would be. As we go back to college, remember when Florida State was suing the ACC, trying to get out of their TV deal so they could leave the conference.
Yeah, Clemson, we remember that.
Clemson has entered the chat, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, okay.
On.com reports that the 28-page complaint that Clemson has filed in Pickens County, South Carolina, challenges the university's obligations to honor the conference's media deal with ESPN. Clemson and other conference members signed a grant of rights agreement, we all remember that, in 2013, granting ESPN TV rights for all conference games throughout 2036. Oh, well,
they're trying to get expansion, you see, because once Trevor Lawrence left, they sucked. Okay, that's what happened.
Well, they did get, I don't know how they did, but they did get a berth in the big dance this week, so. You can hear me shrugging wildly, can't you?
Yes. I don't know, but we'll see about that. But the last story we have is the fact that the NFL Network is going to cover the UFL.
And? The AFL? And I don't even know what OT7 is, but it's
okay. So I did a little research on this. OT7 is basically professional backyard. It is 7-on-7 two-hand touch.
Is there going to be like, are they going to be all seven players playing both offense and defense?
I don't know. I have to double check. I didn't do that much research. I just wanted to see what the rules of OT7 were.
Yeah, the OT7. It's called Overtime OT7. Yeah.
Okay, but the NFL Network will, starting in April, televise over 30 AFL regular season games and select matchups from Overtime's OT7 regular
season.
That
if you go to OT7... SEVEN.com. That's where we're at right now.
Okay.
There's no schedule or anything right now, or teams basically. Oh, there are teams. It's sort of does it look like a there's a lot of teams in there.
Well, in some ways, this I know we've been really bagging on the NFL broadcasting competing promotions. If I'm right. Using the wrestling terminology correctly.
Right.
But in some ways, it makes sense. I mean, you look at what the NHL Network has done with airing PWHL games. They're not in it just for the league. They're in it for the game.
I don't know.
PWHL. The Professional Women's Hockey League.
Oh, okay. Oh, no.
And it's growing. And it's growing. They need more teams, but it's growing.
I'm trying to Firebirds Hockey. Let's see, because we have a friend of ours who does our friend JD Hernandez, who does play by play. I mean, he does PA for the Coachella Valley Firebirds, I believe. I believe that's correct.
That is correct.
So,
JD is indeed the voice of the Firebirds.
Yes, exactly. So that's pretty cool. But I think we need to sell a little bit of soap. And oh, my God, Chico, we have a winner. We have a winner.
Yes, we do. We have a winner. We'll talk about how he. I don't want to say. Well, he did win it. But at the same time, somebody else lost
help.
It. And yes. I have things to say about that, and I will say them all, and Jason will try and stifle me. Good luck with that, by the way. Right. On tomorrow on WLTIs, we also talk about the 60th anniversary celebration that begins next week, and Survivor, Amazing Race, Deal or No Deal, Island, and all the news that came out.
Oh, we forgot Drag Race. Do we know what the game is? Do we know what the game is this weekend?
No, we do not, because
You need to speak to someone else about it. That's cool.
I do need to speak to someone else about that.
Right. But, so, yeah. So that'll happen. VRM. Oh my God, was raw fun last night.
It gets especially fun when you work yourself up into a shoot.
Yes. And boy, did Cody. By the way, did you notice that Cody was wearing the dark suit instead of the good guy suit? By the way, did you see what the bandana said?
No, I didn't.
It said, "The Rock is a cat. Change cat to somebody else. Something else." Yes, exactly. Okay. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about AEW and Mercedes. We're going to talk about AEW, I think. But the road to WrestleMania is getting real good, and we're 2 weeks out, and things are happening. We'll talk about all the wrestling news, and a certain Hardy brother was at Raw. Shades of the future, maybe? Who knows? A couple of old school teams won into this tournament. You never know. VRM, it's going to be fun this weekend. It is definitely going to be fun. The panel, of course, with Gordon Pepper, UBAToday.info. Let's see, all the shows here on 83. I'm sorry, 5 and 1.
That's dollar for the swear jar.
What's happening on It Was a Thing?
Okay, so we have one a week for the time being because schedules being what they were, but we're revisiting some of our old favorite episodes that we feel didn't get much traction. We're going to put them back on site and hope that they do. And the first one we did was Mr. Bogus. But the next new episode's going to be Thursday. And we're going to be finishing up our Lost in Translation week by going back to the past, as it were.
Okay. Just
steer clear of any oncoming cars while you're playing David Bowie on your iPod.
Okay. And by the way, for something we forgot to talk about on the WLTI segment, a week from this coming Wednesday, we are doing our official March Badness tournament. Which is the 32 worst shows of the past year, calendar year, and we get to rank them, compute them, spit them out, go into a smoke-filled room, and find out who the worst show of 2023 was in reality and or game shows. And there were some very worthy candidates in the early conference meetings.
Indeed they were. And I'll tell you something. Without spoiling anything, we seem to be in agreement with the top 10. The rest of the field is more forgettable than bad.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of it also was influenced by the writer's strike.
Yeah.
If you cannot, you know, because a certain shows I put in there, I was like, you know, it wasn't great. But it could have been a whole lot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it wasn't great, but it could have been so much better.
Right. Like, like a certain show that we know that was filmed in Spain. I'll just tease that one. Right.
Yeah. So we'll talk about all of those, and we'll talk about all of those. In the coming weeks on WLTI. But in the meantime,
I think we're good too.
I think we're good until the draft.
Yeah.
When we see the likes of Caleb Williams and Drake May go on stage and also heckle the hell out of Roger Goodell because
he
deserves it. Anyway.
Yeah, we gotta get to sleep because
that's right. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, pro baseball is back. Wait for it. In South Korea.
Nice.
Yes.
Yes. And I believe there's, what is, isn't there a K-pop band throwing out the first pitch?
Let me just, let me take a look at that. The Seoul series, a retired Korean legend to throw the first pitch at the Seoul series, and that would be Chan-ho Park.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
And Chan-ho Park, of course, the first Korean-born athlete to play in MLB.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, I just have to figure out how in the world am I going to be able to watch this?
ESPN, I believe,
ESPN.
Right?
ESPN.
Ah, there you go. Well,
it's on the four-letter network, as we would say. But it is time to warm up for spring football and the draft in about a month from Detroit. You know?
Yep.
Who will Chicago pick? Caleb Williams. You know? And who are the trades that we already made? Are they trade bait already? Who knows?
Probably.
Maybe. We'll find out. Yep. But take us home.
All right. All of that is coming up in about 1 month from right now. But in the meantime, for Jason Block, for VRM, for everybody at 5-1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Enjoy the basketball! Let's go, Heels! Woo!
Baseball! Go Yankees! Oh, wait, no, it's football. This is a football podcast. Yep? Football. Enjoy.
Bye.